Good morning. Today's daf is Arachim daf Chav Dalad. We left off on Chav Gimel Amud Beis at the first of the two Mishnayos on the page. So today we're going to finish the sixth parak of the Masechta. We're going to begin the seventh parak. In the sixth parak, we're going to discuss what happens if a person is makdish his nechasim when he already owes something to a balchov, or he already owes payment on a ksuba. So a hektish doesn't really have a schus in what he was makdish. How we proceed and how we make sure that we get the money out of hektish so that the guy could satisfy his previously existing or previously incurred obligations. We are then going to finish off the parak with a discussion of the concept of that we are mamashkein. We take collateral basically from somebody who pledges his erech vow. We said that we take collateral from him to make sure that he actually pays. We're going to talk about what we take from him, what we leave in his possession, etc., etc. That's going to conclude the sixth parak of the Masechta. And then in the seventh parak, we're going to talk about being makdish different types of fields before Yovel, the process for redeeming those fields, the distinction between a stei achuza and a stei mikne, and when in the Yovel period one is allowed to be makdish a field, and specifically, can you be makdish a field during the Yovel year? So does the Kedusha take effect or does it not take effect? Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank Dr. Landerer for today's sponsorship and for his continued sponsorship and support of the shul over the past several months. So again, the Mishnah that is basically in the middle of Chav Gimel Amud Beis, first Mishnah on the page, says as follows: Hamakdish nechasav. If a person is makdish is nechasim, v'haysalav ksubas isha o balchov, and there is a ksubas isha or a balchov that is that imposes a lien against the nechasim, and Rashi says shekidmu gerushin lahektish deleka knunya. We're not afraid of any conspiracy like we saw yesterday, because the guy got divorced before he was makdish as nechasim. Yesterday we were afraid of conspiracy because first the guy was makdish as nechasim, then the guy got divorced. We were afraid he was trying to pull the money out of hektish by forcing the money to be used to pay for the woman's ksuba. But here he already got divorced. So he already owes the ksuba. He already owes a balchov. But then he was makdish as nechasim. So eina isha yichol ligvos ksuba semen hektish. So really, hektish doesn't have any rights in his money because there's a previously existing lien. There's a prior lien on the property because he was already owing the money on the ksuba. So really, hektish isn't entitled to anything yet. The woman or the balchov can't collect the money from hektish. V'lo balchov es chovo. Elo, what do they do? Hapode, if one is pode, and Rashi points out, really this means the Baal has to be pode, the guy who was makdish as nechasim, at the time that he already had these pre-existing obligations, these pre-existing liens on the attaching to his property. Apode, poda, almanas litin, li'isha b'ksubasol b'alchov eschovo. The person has to be pode the money from hektish, on the condition that he give it to the woman in satisfaction of her ksuba obligation, or on the condition that he satisfy the debt that is owed to the creditor. And Rashi points out, we're talking about the case where the guy is poda the money from hektish, bezul, Rashi says, bedinar ovedavar muat, for a very small amount of money, almanas l'shalim, on the condition or al tanai that he's going to use then the money that he's being poda from hektish to pay to the woman for her ksuba, to pay to the balchov for his chov. And Rashi points out, really, me'ikra din, we shouldn't require him to be poda the money from hektish at all. In other words, it shouldn't be a case of pidyon. Rather, what should have happened here, says Rashi, is that the hektish never should have attached to the money, because you can't be makdish something that you have no rights in. And this guy had no rights in his money, because before he was makdish the money, he already, before he was makdish all of his nechasim, he had already had the previously existing obligation, and it was subject to a prior lien in favor of the woman or in favor of the balchov. But, says Rashi, so that a person shouldn't think, oh, you could just use hektish money willy-nilly, and you could just use hektish money to pay for whatever obligations you want, we're going to force him, it's basically a show, we're going to force him to make this pidyon. But the pidyon, usually when you're poda something from hektish, you have to be poda at its value. But over here, we're going to let him be podet for a very small amount of money so that the money is then released from Hekdesh. Then he goes and he pays his obligation. Says the Mishnah Vayter, so Tishimane, let's say he was Maktish $90. Vayachovo Meyamane. And his obligation, the obligation that he owed was $100. So what should he do? So Mosif owed dinar. So he is Mosif another dinar. The question is, who is Mosif? We'll see in a second. Mosif owed dinar. You take a dinar. In other words, even though there are $90 in Hektish, you could be podet not for 90, but only for a dinar. Upodes hanachasim ho'elu. Amenas litin li'isha ksuba salabal chovas chovo. On the condition that you're going to give it to the woman in satisfaction of her ksuba, or to the balchov in satisfaction of the obligation that you owe to him. Now, who's Mosif the dinar? Rashi says, Balchov Yosef od lahalvoso dinar zeh, upodes hanachasim ha'elu. That we're talking about where the guy was makdish all of his nechasim. So he had $90 to his name, he owed $100, but he doesn't have any money to be podeh the hektish with. So how's he going to be podeh? Even if it only takes a dinar, even if he only requires an extra dollar to be podeh the hektish, he doesn't have a dollar. So what happens? So the creditor, the guy who's owed the 90, will loan the debtor another dollar. The debtor will use that dollar to be podeh the hektish, and then he'll pay. They'll pay the loan back, or he'll pay at least $90 of the loan back. That's what Rashi says. So it's the Balchov who's most of the dinar. Tosfos over here, Dibur HaMaskel Mosef, doesn't like that pshat. He says, Perish Rashi, Balchov Yosef Lalvoso dinar, Upodeh Nechasa Ma'elu, Mashma LePerusha, Shabalchov Atzmo Podeh. According to Rashi, it's Mashma that the Balchov himself is being Podeh the money from Hektish, Vein Lashna Mishna Mashma came, but the Mishnah doesn't read like that, because the Mishnah says, Dektani Almanas Litain. The Mishnah says that you have to be Podeh the money on the condition that you're going to give it to the Balchov. But if it's the Balchov who's being poed to the money, he could just take it. You don't have to give it to him. He's the one being poed to the Hektish. Therefore, says Tosfos, Lekach Nira, Lefare, Shehalove Yosef, Lahalvos O Dinar. It doesn't mean that the Balchov advances another dinar. What it means is the Lova stuck. He owed the money previously. He was Maktish as Nechasim when he didn't have a right to the Nechasim. Therefore, we're going to make him borrow from someone else another dinar. In other words, what we're saying is it's not an excuse for the lova to say, well, what do you want me to do? I need at least a dinar in order to be poda the money from Hektish. I don't have it, and therefore I'm stuck. I can't get the money out of Hektish. No, we're going to force him to go into greater debt to borrow another dinar so that that guy can then be poda the money from Hektish and give it to the Balchov. Says the Gemara now, Lamali Lamemar Apode Pode. Why do we have to say Apode Pode? In other words, why is there a pidyon required at all? What happened was the guy was Maktish his Nechasim when he had no entitlement to them because they were subject to a prior lien. Let the lien holder, let the woman who has the Ksuba obligation owing to her, let the Balchov come and collect from Hektish without pidyon. Says the Gemara, Mishum de Rabavo, Demar Rabavo, Shlo Yomru Hektish Yosef Lo Pidyon. It's only a for show. It's basically a ruse, and we're concerned that people shouldn't think that Hektish goes out, that money goes out of Hektish without a pidyon. Therefore, we're going to force the pidyon, even though it's a pidyon only for a very nominal amount. Says the Gemara, Masnitzin Dolok Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel. Our Mishnah is not like Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel, Detanya, because we learn as follows. Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel Omer, Im Haya Chovo Keneged Hektish, Hekdesho Podeh. If the Chov was Keneged Hektish, in other words, if the amount that was owed to the Balchov is the same as the amount, or is the equivalent of the amount that was pledged to Hektish, then Podeh, then you could be Podeh the Hektish for a dinar, for a nominal amount, and use the proceeds to pay the Balchov. Why? Because if the Chov was around the amount of what was pledged to Hektish, then the Balchov is relying on that money for repayment. And because he's relying on that money for repayment, the Hektish was never really chal, because it was never really the Lova's money to be Maktish. It was always belonging, it was always pledged to the Balchov. The Imlav Einapod. However, if the money that is owed is not equivalent to the amount that was in Hektish, let's say the guy is owed $100, and there's only $30 in Hekdesh, so in that case, Eina Podeh. And what Rashi says that what this means is Eina Podeh, meaning you can't be Podeh for a dinar. Rather, if you want to be Podeh this money, you have to be Podeh for its fair value. Why? Because when the Balchov is owed $100, and he sees that there's $30 that the guy has that he gave to Hekdesh, he's not relying on that $30 for repayment, because the $30 is nowhere near as much as the $100. So because the Balchov was never relying on that money for payment, the Hekdesh actually does take effect validly, and therefore you have to be podet for fair value. V'rabbanan ad kama. Now, how wide can the discrepancy be before we'll say that the guy no longer has in mind that he's going to collect from this money? Like, how wide can the discrepancy be? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheshes, Ad Palga. So long as the money that's in Hekdesh is worth at least half the amount of the Chov, we assume that the Bal Chov relied on that money in order to be repaid, and therefore he could be poded for a dinar, because there was never a valid Hekdesh, because the guy was Makdesh Adavar Shena Shalo. Why? Rashi explains, because there are times where you'll sell a piece of property, and you'll put the house on the market for $500,000, and it's a very hot market, and it'll sell for double the asking price. So sometimes you will actually get double what you ask for property. And therefore, as long as his nechasim are worth 50, even if the chov is worth 100, the Baal Chov is going to be somech on those assets, because he's going to think maybe somebody's going to overpay. If the discrepancy is more than a half, meaning let's say the guy is owed 150 and the property is worth 50, then the Baal Chov never had a mind that he was going to collect from that property anyway. Therefore, it would have been a valid Hekdesh. Therefore, if you want to be poda, you have to be poda at fair market value. Says the next Mishnah. Alpha pi shamru chayave erech and mamashkenoso. Even though we say that a person who's chayav to pay an erech vow, we take collateral from him, we do leave him with certain belongings. So nosin lamozon shloshim yom, we give him food for 30 days, uksushne masar chodesh, and clothing for a year, mita mutzas, a bed that's made, vasandalav, and his sandals, utfilav, and his tfilin. And Rashi points out that what if he doesn't have this stuff? So if he doesn't have this stuff extant, then we leave him money in order to buy these provisions. Lo, the Mishnah qualifies that we leave him with these items, avalo li ishto levana, but we don't necessarily supply his entire household with these items. Ima ya'uma, and if he was a craftsman, nosin lo shnei kli umnios, we give him two of his tools of his trade, we call min v'min, from each type of tool that he uses. For example, the Mishnah says, charash, if he's a carpenter, nosin lo shnei mitzadin v'shnei magiros, we give him two planes and two saws. Rabbi Eliezer omer, ima ya'ichor, if he was a farmer, nosin lo tzmodo, we give him oxen. Chamor, if he was a donkey driver, nosin lo chamoro, we give him his donkey. Hayalo menecha meruba menecha muat. Let's say he was a carpenter, he had a lot of saws, but he only had one plane. So, ein omer limkor es meruba v'lika chasamuat. We don't say, oh, so sell one of your extra saws and buy an extra plane. That way you'll have two of both of your kleyumnas. Rather, ela nosin lo shnei minim en meruba, we leave him with two saws, because he has a lot of saws. B'chol sheyesh lo min ha-muat, and whatever he has from the muat, however many planes he has, if he has only one plane, that's fine. We don't let him sell the thing that he has a lot of in order to buy another one of the thing that he has a little of. Hamakdash nechasav, if a person is makdash all of his nechasim, then ma'alin lo tefillin. Then we assess the value of his tefillin, and we're going to force him to redeem his tefillin. Rashi points out. Rashi points out around the bottom of Podos, and he's going to have to redeem them. Why? Because the guy is a chiyuv to put on tefillin every day. Obviously, so he's not going to get out of his chiyuv because he's makdish his nechasim. Says the Gemara, my taima, what's the basis for this halacha that we leave the guy with enough provisions to last him for a little while? Says the Gemara, the Amar Kra, v'yemachu me'erkecha. It says, v'yemachu me'erkecha. And what it says is the drasha is, hachayeyu me'erkecha. So, mach, who, it sounds like hachayehu. It sounds very similar, meaning we have to sustain him with the erech. Meaning that we have to leave over from the erech something for this guy to live on. Lo avaloli ishto levanav. We said my taima because it says ve'emach hu me'erkecha. Velo ishto abanav me'erkecha. It's only we're going to leave him with enough in order to live, but not we're going to leave his wife and kids with enough to live. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Im Haya Ichar Nosin Lotzmado, if he was a carpenter, if he was a farmer, we leave him with his oxen. Rabbanan, but says the Gemara, that's only the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. But the Rabbanan will say, no, we only leave a craftsman with clay umnius. We only leave him with tools. Oxen are not tools, they are assets. Rabbanan, Hanu Lav Clay Umnius Ninu, Elanachasim Ninu. These are regular assets. These are not considered to be. These are not considered to be clay umnis. There's a debate in the Achronim. What happens if you have a melamed who is or a mechanech who is who owes an erech vow and who doesn't have enough money to pay? So the question is, what's considered his clay umnis? Or is svarim considered his clay umnis? Do we leave him with svarim? Maybe whenever somebody gives an erech vow, we should leave him at least with the sefer that he's in the middle of learning then, because it's so important. So that's a debate that the Achronim get into. The Achronim also talk about why is tefillin different. So of all the things that we leave him, so we're going to leave him with food for a month. We're going to leave him with clothing for a year. We're going to leave him with a bed. We're going to leave him with some tools. We're going to leave him with his tefillin. So if, especially if you hold that we're not going to leave him with a svarim, why are you leaving him with his tefillin? So the Achronim explain, because why? There's a skula for arichas yamim that is associated with putting on tefillin every day. And again, the whole point of this drasha is, imachu me'erkecha, hachayeyu me'erkecha. We should sustain him. We should keep him alive. And what better way is there to keep him alive than to permit him to put on tefillin, which has a skula of arichas yamim? Say the Achronim, in that case, how about a mezuzah? Mezuzah is also a skula of arichas yamim. Therefore, maybe we should leave him with a mezuzah as well. So the Achronim debate whether that is in fact the case. Says the Gemara Vayter, Hayalom min echad. If you had a lot of one thing and a few of the other thing, we don't let him sell the thing that he has a lot of in order to buy more of the thing that he has a little of. Says the Gemara Pshita, it's Pashat, Ki echad sagile ad hashta, hashanami sagile. What's the chiddush? The guy until now has been a functional carpenter with a lot of saws and only one plane. Now the guy owes an erech vow, and we're giving him only the bare minimum that he needs to survive. So now all of a sudden we're going to think that we should let him sell his nechassim, that he should buy more implements than he had previously been using until now? That doesn't make any sense. Says the Gemara, Ma'ad teima adid nadavi leila shule hu mushli le hashad lekadamashule lo kamash balan. No, so the Gemara is saying, no, why was the guy able to survive with only one tool until now? Because he had a lot of the other type of tool, and he was able to barter that he would give somebody the other type of tool in exchange for the type of tool that he had only one of. Now that we're taking away the excess of the other type of tool, because we're only leaving him with two of the other type, I might think now he's not going to be able to barter, he's not going to be able to secure for himself the type of tool that he only has one of, therefore maybe we should let him sell and exchange for the thing that he has a little of. Kamash Mulan, no, we don't. We make him survive with the one tool the same way he's been surviving until now. Hamaktish es nechasov malin lo tefillin. If a guy is maktish es nechasim, we evaluate, we assess his tefillin, and we force him to redeem them. Says the Gemara, Hu gavra dezavinu lenichse. There was a guy who was not makdish all of his nechasim, but he sold all of his nechasim. Also, lekai made the Rav Yemar. They came before Rav Yemar. Amar lehu, they said, slikalu tefillin, remove your tefillin. In other words, the tefillin do not go with the sale. The tefillin are not included in the sale. Says the Gemara, my kamash mula masnisen hu. Says the Gemara, what's the chiddush? It's a mishnah. Hamakdish nechasav. Malin lo tfilav. If a person is makdash all of his nechasim, we assess his tefillin and we force him to redeem them because the tefillin is not included in the hektish. So if the tefillin is not included in the hektish when you're makdash all of your nechasim, why would I think the tefillin is included in the sale when you sell all of your nechasim? Says the Gemara. Says the Gemara as follows. So mal de tema hasamu desavar mitzvah ka avdina. I might have thought that over there by hektish, the guy thought that he was doing a mitzvah because he was being maktish all of his nechasim. Therefore, he thought there was a havamina, maybe his tefillin should be included. Ava le'inyan zvune mitzvah de gufei lo zavin inche. But I might have thought that for a sale, the person is not going to sell his own tefillin. Kamash Malan, no. So I misstated. What we say is that if a person is makdash his tefillin, we force him to redeem them because the tefillin is included in the hektish. Yet when the guy sold all of his nechassim, we said, oh, you got to remove your tefillin because the tefillin is included in the sale. And the Gemara asks, Ayas Pashat, we already know it's included because when you're makdash all of your nechassim, the tefillin is included. Varaya, where we force you to be poda them. So of course, when you sell all your nechassim, the tefillin is going to be included. Therefore, that's when the Gemara said, no, I think this is a distinction. When you're makdash, you have in mind to include your tefillin because you think you're doing a mitzvah. When you sell your nechassim, maybe I would not have in mind to sell my tefillin because I want to keep my mitzvah for myself. Kamash Malan, no, when a person says that I'm going to sell everything I own, he includes even his tefillin. Okay, says the last Mishnah in the Perek. Echad ha-makdash nechasav v'echad ha-marech atzmo. Whether a person is makdash is nechasim, if a person gives his erech value, so ein lo, the gizbar has no entitlement to b'ksus ishto, to the clothing that his wife is wearing, Velobitzus banav, nor to the clothing that his kids are wearing. Velobitzevas shetzava lishman, nor for any cloth that he dyed for the purpose of making clothing for his wife or kids. Velobitzandalan chadashan shalacham lishman, nor for new shoes that he bought for them. Rashi points out, even if they never wore them yet, they were designated for the wife and kids. And in other words, the halacha that the Mishnah is telling us is when a guy gives his erech vow, or when a guy is makdish his nechasim, he means literally his nechasim, the nechasim that he uses personally, not the nechasim that his wife and kids use. Alfal pisha amru. Now the Mishnah says, even though they say avadim nemkarim b'ksusan l'shvach, that an eved is sold with clothing l'shvach. Shem tilkach lo ksus b'shloshem dinar. For example, if you have an eved, let's say, who's ordinarily worth $20, but if you put him in a very nice suit that costs $30, then meshubach mane, then he's going to be worth $100. In other words, because if an eved looks very well dressed, then people will pay more for him. So let's say you have an eved who on the market today would get $20, but if you would make a little bit of an investment to make him look better, he would get a lot more money if he was sold on the market. So even if that were the case, v'chein paro, or let's say you're selling a cow. If you wait until the market day, mishubacha, see, it would become more, it would get a higher purchase price. The chemargolis, or a pearl, in malanos alakrach. Right now you live in a small town, so if you sell a pearl at a small town, there are not too many buyers, and therefore it's not going to command a very high price. But if you waited until you went into the city, then it would command a higher price. So mishubacha, so imalanos alakrach, mishubacha, see, even though there is a way to try to secure more money for all of these items by waiting or by beautifying the item or by changing location, the halacha is, and we've seen this previously in the Masechta, ein lehektish ela makom avashaito. Hektish only has its time and its place. In other words, we assess things, when we're assessing things for hektish, we assess it in accordance with how much it would get right now in its current situation. We don't care that if you would wait for the market, it would be more expensive. We don't care that if you sold it somewhere else, you would get more money. We don't care that if you tried to beautify the Eved, he would get more money. We look only at what the assessed value is now, today, in the current circumstance. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, V'nosan es ha'erkecha bayom hahu. Shelo yishe margolis lekalim. You shouldn't wait in order to sell the margolis, the pearl, in the big city. Rather, you sell it today, or you assess how much it would generate today in the small town. Kodesh Lashem, and when it says in the pasuk Kodesh Lashem, what does that teach us? Separate halacha. Stam hektesh los lebeda kabayis. It teaches us that stam, if you're makdish something, it goes lebeda kabayis, that you intend not to make it kachem izbeach, but rather you intend to make it kache bedek habayis. Okay, hadron halach shuma yisomim, and now we begin the seventh perek. So just bederech hakdama for the seventh perek. There are two types of sados. and we've alluded to these types of sados previously in the Gemara. Now we're going to get very into it in this perek. So two types of sados. There's a stei achuza, which is a sada that you are yoresh from your forefathers that was divided in the Chalukas Eretz Yisrael. It passes through your family from generation to generation. That type of field remains in your family forever. And then there's a stei mikne, which is a field that wasn't part of the inheritance of Eretz Yisrael, but you bought it. Now, a stei mikne only remains in your possession until Yovel. Why? Because at Yovel, it goes out to the person whose stei achuza it originally was. Only the guy sold it to you. Now, let's say if you're maktish your field, so Hektish has all the schuyos that you had in the field. Hektish can't have more. You can't give Hektish more than the schus that you have. Therefore, if you're maktish a stei mikne, Hektish only has it until Yovel, because you only have the stei mikne until Yovel. If you're maktish a stei achuza, then potentially Hektish has greater rights. But the halacha is that if you're maktish the stei achuza, you're allowed to redeem that stei achuza any time before Yovel, and you redeem it for a set price. The Torah says that the set price for redeeming is a shekel kesef for each base zerah chomer seorim per year. So in other words, for each year remaining until Yovel, if you want to redeem it early, you have to pay Hektish a shekel for each base zerah chomer seorim multiplied by the number of years that remain until Yovel, which works out to be a selah and a pundion for each year. That's the rateable redemption price. And if you're, again, if you're poda the stei achuza before Yovel, then it's still considered to be a stei achuza. It goes back in your possession forever. However, if you are not poda the stei achuza before Yovel, then it's yotze l'kohanim b'yovel. So we'll see about that halacha in the Gemara as well. Then the kohanim get it. In other words, Hektish gets whatever rights you have, and you were never redeemed it, and now once you didn't redeem it, it's basically Hektish's field. It's basically Hektish's field forever. Okay. Let's see the Mishnah. So ein makdish levnei yovel pachos mishteishanim. You can't be makdish a field within two years of Yovel. Why? Because we'll see in the Gemara what this means. It sounds like you can't be makdish a field at all. What the Gemara, what the Mishnah really means to say is that, remember when we said that if you're makdish a stei achuza, you have to redeem it for the set price, a shekel for each bezer achoma sorin, multiplied by however many years remain until Yovel, so you don't have to pay. Let's say a simple case that there's only one Beis Erech Chomer Sorin, right? So if you're Makdish it in the very beginning of a Yovel cycle, and then you want to redeem it, you have to pay $50 because it's a shekel for this amount of land for each year. So you got to pay $50. If there's 3 years remaining until Yovel, you don't have to pay $50 because Hektish already had the field for a long time. So if you want to redeem it 3 years before Yovel, you only pay $3. So what the Mishnah really means to say is, if you're maktish the field within 2 years of Yovel, and then you want to redeem it, I might have thought I only have to pay $2 because I prorate depending on how much time is left until Yovel. The Gemara is going to tell us, no, if you're maktish within 2 years of Yovel, you have to pay the full value of the field. We no longer allow you to employ this process of gira'on, of rateable reduction in the purchase price. So again, says the Mishnah, Ein maktish levnei Yovel pachos mishteishanim, we are not maktish more than within 2 years of Yovel. V'logolen achara Yovel pachos mishana achas, nor do we redeem a field less than 1 year after Yovel. Ein mechashven chadashim lehektish, we are not mechashev chadashim, we don't calculate months for Hektish. In other words, that I might think that if I'm poda the field 5.5 years before Yovel, then I only have to pay Hektish the rateable redemption price for 5.5 years. But Kamash Malan, no, we are not Mechashev Chadashim Lektish. In other words, 5.5 years before Yovel, because it's more than 5 years before Yovel, is still considered to be 6 years before Yovel. And therefore, what do you have to do? You have to give Hektish six Sela Upundion, six Shekel Upundion, as opposed to 5.5. Because we don't say that the redemption price reduces on a monthly basis, rather it reduces on an annual basis. And any time within the year, you have to pay Hektish for that full year. Aval Hektish Mechashev Chadashim. However, hektish is mechashev chadashim, and Rashi points out that what that means is that, let's say we had said that you can't be makdish your field within 2 years of Yovel, which in the Gemara is going to tell us in a minute. What that means is that I have to pay the full price, that I can't avail myself of the reduced redemption price. So let's say I'm makdish my field. Let's say I'm makdish my field 18 months before Yovel. So hektish is allowed to say that this is within 2 years, and therefore, and let's say 48 and a half years. So I might think, 48 and a half years, if Hektish is not Mechadesh Chadashim, if Hektish doesn't count months, maybe this should be considered to be outside of 2 years before Yovel. Kamash Malan, when it's the Hektish's advantage, they are Mechashev Chadashim, so it'll be considered within 2 years of Yovel. Therefore, it's got to be redeemed at its full value, and it can't be redeemed through the Geraon process, through the reduction of the rateable reduction of the redemption amount. Okay, says the Gemara. V'reminu frek the Gemara makdishin bein lefnei yovel, bein la'achara yovel, uvejnasa yovel atzma lo yaktish. During yovel itself, you shouldn't be makdish. V'miktish ain't a kedusha. And if you were makdish during yovel, it's not kadosh, because yovel is the time when fields leave hektish. So you can't be makdish during yovel. Rav Shmuel damri tavayu. Rav Shmuel say as follows. Ein makdishin li goel begerua pachus mishnei shanim. So the kasha is, in the Mishnah, you told me, within 2 years of Yovel, I can't be Makdish a field. The Gemara said, I can be Makdish before Yovel. So why are you telling me in the Mishnah I can't be Makdish within 2 years? So Rav and Shmuel say, the way we interpreted the Mishnah when we read it initially, that it doesn't mean I can't be Makdish, I am Makdish. That I can't be makdish and then redeem it for the rateable reduced redemption price within 2 years of Yovel. And because I cannot redeem it for a sela and a punyon, a shekel and a punyon for each year remaining until Yovel, the Mishnah is giving advice. A person should be concerned with his nechasim, v'al yaktish pachas mishe shanim, and he shouldn't be makdish a field within 2 years. And therefore, what the Mishnah is really telling us is that if you are makdish it within 2 years, you cannot redeem it for 2 shekel and 2 pundionos. Rather, you have to redeem it for 50 shekel, because we're not going to let you avail yourself of the reduction. So the Mishnah is not telling me a halacha, it's giving me advice. Don't be silly and don't be makdish within 2 years, because why redeem a field for 50? If I would have been makdish a year earlier, I could have redeemed it for $3.03. So just be smart with your money. Says the Gemara Viter, Itmar, makdish adeo b'shnasa yovel atzma. A guy is makdish his field during yovel itself. Rav amar k'dusha v'nosei chamishim. Rav says, it is kadosh, and if you want to redeem it, then you have to pay $50. You have to pay the full redemption price. Shmuel amar eina k'dusha kolikar. Shmuel says it's not kadosh at all. Maskef l'Rav Yosef. So says Rav Yosef, bishlam alenia mechira. I understand by mechira, the public Shmuel aleo de Rav. Shmuel argues on Rav and says that if you sell your field during yovel, it's not considered to be sold at all, because ikolam eimer kalvachomer, because we have a kalvachomer. Amar mechvura kvar yotze, madach estay mikne, that you sell goes out by yovel, it goes out to the original owner by yovel. So akshav she'ena mechura, now that it hasn't been sold yet, ena din shaloti macher. If yovel is so powerful that it abrogates all sales, of course you're not able to make a new sale during yovel. Elohacha mikal amemer kal v'chomer, but of here, why should the hektish not take effect? Is there a kal v'chomer? In other words, is there a halacha that everything automatically leaves hektish by yovel? Vatnan higia yovel v'lo nigala. We said if a guy is makdish estei achuza and he has not redeemed it, kohanim nechnasim l'socha v'nosnin damel. The kohanim are go into the field and they have to be nosnin damim. In other words, the kohen has to be poda it. And the field does not leave hektish automatically at yovel. And therefore, Hektish is not like a Mechira. By a Mechira, automatically at Yovel it goes out. By Hektish, it doesn't automatically go out by Yovel, because even the Kohanim who take title to the field on Yovel, they have to spend money and redeem it. So Divrei Rav Yehuda, that's where Rav Yehuda Shita. Says the Gemara, no, well, Shmuel, Rav Shimon's Sfira. Shmuel holds like Rav Shimon, Derma Nechnasim Velo Yotzim, who says that the Kohanim go into the field on Yovel and they don't have to pay for the field. Mashma, that when Yovel comes, the field leaves Hektish automatically. And if the field leaves Hektish automatically by Yovel, then Hektish is like Mechira, and therefore I have the same Kal V'chomer. Just like I can't sell a field during Yovel because Yovel causes all sold fields to revert to their original owner, so too I can't be Maktish a field during Yovel because Yovel causes all fields that were already Huktash to go back to their owner on Yovel. Says the Gemara, now turning to Chavdal of Mabez, Rav Savar, and Rav says, Sof, Labala Mikahadra. So at the end of the day, when we say the field goes out by Yovel, it doesn't return to its original owner. That's what goes out means. Goes out like by Mecher means if you sell a stay mikneh, then when Yovel comes, it goes back to the guy who owned it as a stay achuza. But over here, Mikahadra Lakohanim Udenafka. It goes to the Kohanim, the Kohanim is Shulchan Gavoa Kazachu. And the Kohanim are Zoche, Meshulchan Gavoa. And therefore, it's considered to be as if it is Yotze Mirshos Hektish. It's not considered to be as if it's Yotze Mirshos Hektish by Yovel. And therefore, there is not the same Kal V'chomer by Hektish as there is by Mechira. Says the Gemara, my time of the Rav. What is the reason for Rav's halacha that a person can be makdish a field during Yovel? Damar Kra, because it says, V'im Mishnas HaYovel. It says, V'im Mishnas HaYovel, if you are makdish a field from the Shnas HaYovel, V'Shnas HaYovel Bechlal. But it also includes the Yovel year itself. Ushmuel, and Shmuel, who says that you can't be makdish a field during Yovel, Miksev V'im Bishnas HaYovel. Does it say, if in the year of Yovel you're makdish a field? No, it says, Mishnas HaYovel. From the Yovel year, meaning after the Yovel year. So, Mishnas HaYovel Ksiv, Mishnas She'achar HaYovel, from the year after the Yovel, but during the Yovel year itself, in Echanami, you can't be Makdish according to Shmuel. Bishlam al Rav, I understand according to Rav, who says that you can be Makdish during Yovel, and Mishnas HaYovel means Yovel Atzma, Hainad Ksiv, in Mishnas HaYovel, Vim Achar HaYovel, because statement refers to being makdish the field during Yovel. The other statement refers to being makdish the field after Yovel. Elul Shmuel, but according to Shmuel, who says that even the phrase that references Mishnas HaYovel really means after Yovel, so why do I then need a pasuk that tells me Vim Achar HaYovel? Mishnas HaYovel itself means after Yovel. My Achar HaYovel, Achar Achar. So what does it mean, Achar HaYovel? It means 2 years after Yovel, 3 years after Yovel. Rashi says, Kagon Shtayim v'shaloshonim Achar HaYovel, Ika Girua. That's when we start applying the rateable reduction in redemption price. Aval Iktisha Bishata Debasar Yovel, Laki Girua. But obviously, if you're going to be Makdashit in the year after the Yovel, and then you redeem it right away, there is no Giron, because there's the same amount of time left until Yovel, therefore you're going to have to pay the full $50. Meisfei Frek the Gemara. Makdishin Bein Lefnea Yovel Bein La'achara Yovel. You could be Makdish before Yovel, after Yovel, Uvishnasa Yovel, Atzmalo Yaktish. During the Yovel year itself, you should not be Makdish. Vimikdish Eina Kedusha. And if you were Makdishit, it is not Kadosh. Samalacha Rav, so says Rav, who said that you're allowed to be Makdish a field during Yovel, so Eina Kedusha Bigirua. It is not Makdish Bigirua. Aval Kadosh V'nosnir Chamishim. However, it is Kadosh in that you give $50 to redeem it. Why? Because there is because there's the full 50 years left until the next Yovel. Michlal, to Levnea Yovel Kedusha Ligol Bigirua. Does that imply that if you are Makdish a field in the year before Yovel, then you can be Goal it Bigirua, you can be Goal with the reduced redemption price? I just thought we said in the Gemara that if you're Makdish within 2 years of Yovel, you can't do the Girua, you can't do the rateable reduction in redemption. This is the Rabbanan. Vanad Amri Karav Meir, and I hold like Rav Meir, that Rishon, Rishon Bechlal, Shvi, Shvi Bechlal. So, you have to look, Rashi says that, so Amr Lecharav, Vaday Haldik Tani Makdishin, Vaday Litin Chamishim Kamar. Uvishnat Sayovel Eina Kedusha Kolikar. That in the Yovel itself, it's not Hektesh at all. Flotikshili Didida, Mani Rabbanani, the Pligila, the Rebbe, Perakesayadam, are Rishon Velo Rishon Bechlal. Because the Rabbanan say, Rishon means not including Rishon, and I hold like Rebbe, and Rashi says, Shmuel afilu le Rebbe in Kedusha. Shmuel says, even according to Rebbe, it's not Kodesh and Yehovah. The Chiyoma Rebbe, Meyom Rishon, Verishon Bechlal, Hosom Udichsev Va'ad, the Shayach Bey Lashon Miyom, Avalocha, Dlokhsev Va'ad, Havel Nechta Bishnas, Moder Rebbe, Dlavi Bechlal. Ah, so in other words, if I say that Ad does not mean Ad Bechlal, when it says Mishnas Ayovel, I would interpret that to mean that it does not mean including the Yovel period. Hachanami, Bishnas, Vishnas Ayovel Bechlal. Because says Rav, I hold like Rebbe. So says the Gemara, I ka Rebbe, Puntiyon Maya Vidate. But if he holds like Rebbe, then why is there a need for a Puntiyon? We had said that the redemption price is a Sela and a Puntiyon for each year. That's because the basic redemption is 50. So 50 is not divisible by 49. And so if the Yovel period is 49 years and the redemption price is 50, then for each year that passes by, we have to reduce the redemption by a dollar and a penny. But, or by a dollar and, let's say a penny was worth 50, whatever. Yeah, you have to reduce it fractionally. But if you were saying that you could be Makdish it in Yovel, then why am I reducing it by a dollar and a penny each year? 50 goes into 50, it's 1-to-1. I should reduce it by a dollar each year. So we're in the middle of a discussion. We'll have to back up maybe a little bit and pick up from here tomorrow. Sure.